Yo.
Welcome back to the New Dimension Comics Presents the Toddcast.
It's kind of like the Uncanny Toddcast at this point.
All new?
All new, Uncanny, new 26.
Yeah. Superior Toddcast? Crisis on Infinite Toddcast.
Exactly. Oh no, does that mean there's another version of me somewhere?
Possibly. Quite possibly.
Well, we've missed everybody.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been like 2.5 months.
Yes, so. And not because we haven't wanted to do this, but wow, we've got busy.
Like, and we had issues with the website and all kinds of things.
So hopefully you haven't, you know, decided never to listen to us again. Hopefully you are listening to us now, and that would be great.
Right, that would be awesome.
And then tell your friends. We might try to promote this
mom,
better.
Tell your mom's mama. Tell the Beastie Boys and the Dalai Lama.
But yeah, so that's we're back. It's September 17th.
Yep.
It is New Book Wednesday.
Yep.
And we're ready to roll. We're going to talk about, instead of doing like books that just came out this week, we're going to try to fill in what we really enjoyed out of the past 2.5 months of reading.
Right.
So each of us grabbed like 3 key things. We got trades, we got graphic novels, and a bunch of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But what do you want to do first? You want to talk about stuff coming up?
Let's talk about stuff coming up real quick.
All right.
So this weekend is the Magic Cons of Tarkir pre-release.
Is there a lot of tigers? Are they tigers?
No, it's actually based on a plane of dragons. There were dragons used to be, and all of the clans have something to do with dragons on it. Like if you look at the
look at those.
Yeah, like the banners we have going on there.
One looks like
sweet
a tooth or something.
It does. And wings. It's a claw, and then like a tooth.
What's the last one? Looks like a weird goat.
The one closest to us?
No, the one on the end, the green one.
Oh, it's like a full claw, like a footprint.
Okay.
Yeah, and the wings and eyes and scales. That's what those are supposed to be.
Interesting.
It's pretty nuts. But anyway, check out your local NDC for times and stuff for that.
Yeah, because each one's doing something different or multiples over the weekend.
Right. So. I think everybody's doing at least one on Saturday.
Yes. Except for Elwood, maybe? I don't think.
I don't know. They might.
I don't think they are.
Yeah. But the rest of us are, so make sure you come out and check out that. Cool. Check out all that stuff. Then at the end of the month, the weekend after, you'll see us at Pittsburgh Comic Con in Monroeville. We're usually right inside the door. I know I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
I might just be there Friday and Sunday. I haven't decided what I'm doing yet, but I'll be there in some capacity.
Cool. I get to hang out with Ken that weekend. Yay.
Hooray.
Then the weekend after that is our annual Silver Age sale, always following... Yep. Pittsburgh Comic Con. That's October 4th through 6th. Then we have a basement sale the week after that. So lots of things going on in Elwood for once.
Yeah.
And
this is a great time also for the Silver Age sale because we have so much good Silver Age.
I don't know if you guys have been following us on Facebook and Twitter, but we've been sharing each other's Facebook tweets and our Facebook posts and Twitter feeds and a lot of stuff with where you see random pictures of Todd holding awesome Silver Age books that we get in. Since we've been doing that, a lot of those go real quick, so make sure you follow us, and if you see something you like, email immediately.
Email the store you want to pick it up at, and it'll go from there, because I know that a lot of them have been hitting, as soon as they hit, Cranberry's been getting emails, and they haven't been lasting very long, so...
And then the end of that month, we have the Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles Show at Century 3.
Which is going to be huge.
October 25th. We're actually partnered with Xenoscope Entertainment, the guys who do Grim Fairy Tales and that whole universe, actually. It's very massive. I think they have, like, 20 different titles?
And they have
so
three
far.
New ones come out every week, it seems like. So.
Yeah, so at least 12 titles. But they're coming in. We're going to do two different costume contest where I have a regular one from us where you win a $500 gift card for best costume
At New Dimension Comics, so you get 500 store credit, which is awesome,
right? And then the other one is you're going to win $500 worth of Xenoscope merchandise for best Grim Fairy Tales costume,
which is crazy. So you could potentially win $1,000 in merchandise
if you were really awesome in both fronts. And I'm pretty sure we're doing it like last year where the vendors and the guests are actually going to be the judges of the costume contest. So make sure you come early so that everybody can see you and see what you're doing.
Yes.
It's only $3 admission. It's going to be a lot of fun anyway. Xenoscope's going to be there vending, which is cool.
And they always have exclusive covers for their books. I remember last time we saw them at Pittsburgh Comic Con, they did a special Pittsburgh Steel, like the girls and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Get up, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some good stuff.
Yeah, there's some really good ones. I've actually already talked to them about picking up some of the variants at Pittsburgh Comic Con for a couple subs of mine. So then Halloween is awkwardly up in the air.
Well, not because of us. We have right. stuff planned, but we're waiting for the malls for everyone to tell us what their trick-or-treat is. So, so check us out on the website
yeah.
and on the Facebook pages,
yep.
and we'll have all that as soon as we know. What's the haps on the crabs?
And a lot of that is also, a lot of the stores have participated in the Halloween Comic Fest books.
I think all of them have, so all of them will be getting special Halloween, much like free comic book day. You'll just come in, we'll have some free Halloween themed comics.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, can stop in and have a good time.
Yep, it's going to be good. The 1st of November is Comic Book 101 Day, which is the learn to collect comics
yeah
and pick our brains.
We did it last year and we're gonna do it again. We're every time we give out free comics, we're gonna have a little, you know,
yeah, a little come on back and hang yeah. out.
I mean, just talk, like we'll show you, you know, what the proper bag size or mm-hmm. you know
what the difference is between boards and bags and
yeah,
you know, silver and golden and bronze and modern age. And
up until like 6 months ago, boards only used to come one side glossy and one side not.
Mm-hmm.
Why was there one side glossy and one side wasn't?
Then on the 22nd of November, we're having a Star City IQ for Magic the Gathering, a standard one here at the Mills. This is the first time we've tried such a big event. It's going to be huge. Dan from Butler's coming down.
And he is so excited. I talked to him like when I did the run Tuesday,
yeah.
and he's so pumped. He's like, and I, you know, this is something new to us, so I wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, new things scare me. Fire, bad, brr. But and he's like, it's going to be awesome, Ken. It's going to be, I'm like, all right, Dan. And if Dan's excited about something, then I should be excited about
yeah.
something. So that's how I look at it. And if I'm excited about it,
then Dan should be too.
Then everybody should be excited.
Oh, well, that's true.
Not, it's not, I can't,
it takes a lot to impress you.
Yeah, I'm not easily impressed.
Same with Dan.
So. Exactly.
Yeah. But it's going to be a good time. It's $30 entry. You will be able to start pre-registration starting November 1st. But we won't be taking any pre-registration until then. But do check out the Facebook post for it. There's an event hosted by Star City Games on their Facebook page. Our event links right to that. First prize is $250 cash. Well, in the form of a check. But and then
from John's personal bank account.
No. Wait, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
And then 2nd through 8th is PAX in a variety of styles, and all of them get multiple Star City points. It is a competitive level event. We're going to have a bunch of judges here. It's going to be a pretty big deal, and we hope that it has a great turnout. And as always, we love to bring the fun. So, and then the following Friday after that, Blackest Friday.
Oh, it's coming so
quickly.
Oh,
my God. I know. I looked at that and was like, man, that's like 2 months away.
Ugh.
I was like two and a half.
Where did, like, I feel like summer was here and it was hot and then, like, it got cold and now it's like Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I can't handle this.
It is actually, today is 100 days till Christmas. 100 days from today is Christmas.
It's a bucket of yuck.
I know, right?
So let it begin.
Mm-hmm. So if you need something cool for a Christmas gift, stop in here. We'll hook you up. I got a life-size TARDIS. C3 has a life-size TARDIS. They're $250. Pretty sweet.
Everyone's got cool stuff right now. Cranberry mm-hmm. got in a huge old-school Turtles collection.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They're still going through. They have a full-size, like, Batman Forever. It's complete Batcave. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually threw some extra stuff in, so there's, like, the actual Batmobile that matches it and the Batplane, like, all the stuff.
That's sweet.
So if you buy the box for like $50, there's a lot of stuff everywhere. And I know Chip's been getting a bunch of stuff down at Century 3. So and Butler's always got cool things. And Mike's always picking out the weirdest stuff out of Diamond and like showing it off. And people love it. So it's great.
Yeah, we just got some Marvel Selects in, some old school Marvel Selects.
Yeah, Marvel Legends. Toy Biz, the Marvel Legends. Yeah, yeah. And you got, I think, half of them. So there's another great half up still in Butler.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, so definitely make sure you check out
cool
all the cool stuff at your local NDC. Also, we expanded here.
I think that was the day
we broke down the wall. But if you didn't listen to the last one, because
it shows when the last time we've done it. Well, yeah, because we didn't do it for a couple weeks before we did the lost episode. And yeah. Did that get posted?
I posted it yesterday.
And it was
so
horrible. Like we didn't. We're tired. And
I was gonna listen to it this morning on the way in to make sure we didn't talk about anything we did before, but. It was interesting. So if you ever want to see an 11,000 square foot store and you haven't been to our Century 3 store and you don't want to drive to the other side of the city, stop on out. It's impressive.
I think it's impressive because that's two totally different vibes. Like you walk into one side of the store, it's like comics and toys and it's awesome. And then you come to the other side, and it's like chill with different lighting and the games everywhere. And it's got like a very basement like finished game room kind of
feel.
Yeah,
like hang out in your basement and play some games. Yeah. Yeah.
So I like it. It's nice.
Cool. All right, let's talk about some stuff that happened in between that lost website or that lost podcast.
Yes.
And today. So we have five major things that came, like kind of major-y things that we feel.
Which is kind of impressive that we were only gone for like 2.5 months and haven't talked, but we still have like five pretty big things that happened in the world of nerdness in Western Pennsylvania.
All right, so the first one's the Cranberry Cookout. So I wasn't there, but you were. So how did that
go?
Here's
the thing. All these events we weren't at together. We were all separate. So we spread out.
Except for one. There was one.
That must be the Uber event of the last 2.5 months.
It is the last one, but it's also probably the least awesome. So.
We high-fived once. No, I'm just kidding. The cookout was awesome. Like, it rained at the beginning of the day, and we were like, oh, it's going to be lame. We're going to have to do this, like, next weekend and, like, get everything back. And let me tell you what. You guys as, like, you know, customers and, you know, the NDC faithful, we threw a couple pictures of, like, the grill because we were making hot dogs, and we figured out a way to have some books that were still outside, but they were covered from the rain. And then, like, by noon, we were busy. Like, it was jam-packed.
That's awesome.
And bumping, and it was the best. So Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I get that and Memorial Day mixed up.
Well, one's in the fall.
Yeah, but I get them. I understand one's in the fall, one's in the spring, but like, but anyways, so we had the best Memorial Day. No, Labor Day. I see I messed up. Labor Day.
It's cool. And they're both events that happened at Cranberry.
Yeah.
Like, we happened to do that.
And they're both like holidays that you're like, oh, I get Monday off too. Most people, like, it's like, oh, it's basically I'm going to just hang out and eat. And hang. But anyways.
So what do we do on the day that is celebrating people who work? We worked.
So we had the best one to date. People came out, we had a ton of customers, people loved it. We had some great Silver Age in the case, so everyone had a great time, played
That's
some
awesome.
Games. It was a good time. So, just look forward to the Memorial Day one
in the spring.
This is going to always happen, and there's going to be two constants every time. It's going to be free hot dogs and cheap books.
That's
and
awesome.
Other than that, it could change.
It was weird. I walked into Cranberry shortly after that, and all the dollar books are stacked in the doorways. And I was just like, man, I feel like I'm in one of those shops that just stacks everything everywhere. Like that we would go like out of town and go into and be like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, like this is crazy.
Well, because I've been working there more often, which is another reason why I've been doing the podcast as much. And people would come in, they'd walk in, they were like, wow, that's a lot of comics. I'm like, yeah, and they're all for sale. Buy them all now. So it shows that
40 bucks a box.
And they're like, oh, you know, that's a lot of comics. I'm like, yeah, that's like a 1% of what we have out in Elwood. Like, or when we do these events, like, it's just we have a lot of books.
It's a fraction.
Yeah.
It's a small fraction.
If you should never, if you're in earshot of this and want to buy comics, you should never have to want for expensive comics. If you want something to read, give us $5 and we'll set you up with something like five issues of something to read.
Right. We will find stuff for you sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find something for you to read.
We will get everything we possibly can for you in a cheap fashion. So the next thing was Baltimore Comic Con. Myself and my alpha minion Aaron went.
Alpha minion.
He's an alpha minion.
Is beta minion upset about?
Beta minions are all the guys who didn't get to go. They were kind of upset about not going.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
No, it was cool. He just consistently kept introducing himself as my minion. I did not ask for that title, but I thought it was a little bit of fun, and everybody got a joke out of it. But it was really nice. We got to spend 3 days down there. We bought the room. From what I understand, we're possibly vending there next year. That will be remain to be seen, but it's a possibility. But it was kind of cool. Got to meet like Charles Soule, Alex Maleev, ran into Vito Del Sante down there, who's a great guy, who hooked us up with some.
That's a great name. Like, I feel like I need
Vito Del Sante. Vito Del Sante. he hooked us up with some Kickstarter versions of Stray Number One, which was really good. Mm-hmm. If you kind of like miss that old Peter Parker Spider-Man vibe, like that's kind of the vibe I got out of it, and I really enjoyed it. We ran into Josh Blaylock, who's also a good friend of ours.
Stand-up dude.
Kind of hung out at the bar with him. And we stayed with a couple of our subscribers, Spicy and the Bearfeld, and their friend Aaron. I have a funny story from there for you, because this is something involving the Toddcast. So a couple months back, we talked about the awkward back issues, and one of them we talked about was the Marvel team up with the Golden Oldie.
Yeah, it's a great book.
It is. So the artist and writer, I guess, for that exact issue were at Baltimore. So they both took the issue and got it signed.
Okay.
And then Steve took a Superior Spider-Man team-up blank cover and had him do a sketch of the Golden Oldie on there. And the guy loved it because he's like, no one ever asks for this.
Except for
the Bearfield.
That's great.
It was good. We all had a blast. We had a really good time. Oh, we saw John, who runs West Virginia PopCon down there. So it was kind of cool to see a bunch of old friends and, you know, catch up and, you know, have a good time at the con. It was really good. It was really packed. I believe they sold out again, so it was close to like 5,000 people per day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. I was down there a couple years ago, and it was impressive. It's amazing, and I don't want to, you know, the con size and everything, that's how it's supported, and the amount of artists and everything in the area. It's a great vibe down there. It's a good time.
It was really cool. All right. And Guardians of the Galaxy came out, which is probably the biggest thing that we can talk about. It's
like over $600 million right now.
Yeah, right. And you can text Groot.
And if apparently if you bug him enough, he'll should send you a picture of his branch.
Yep. But Marvel has scolded him for that, so it's funny.
But
I immediately like shared that and tagged Chip in it. And his response was just, "I am Groot."
It's amazing that, like, all right, whenever the movie was announced, I think we talked about it, I didn't think that it was going to get the buzz that it was going to get. Like,
me either.
I thought it was going to be like, all right, this is going to be this is going to be the movie for comic book guys, and it's just not going to get into that like niche.
Right.
And I'm just I'm blown away, like that how much people are just into it, and like everyone's like, oh, you know, Rocket's gonna, they're gonna try to push Rocket and Groot, and I'm like, all right, they can try, but I don't think anyone's gonna get it. Like,
yeah,
I thought the public was gonna be like, oh, it's a tree and a raccoon, it's not like that. But wow, it kind of blew up.
I've
seen it twice.
I've only seen it once, but I know that we both have a little bit of differences on our opinion of it, because I thought it was a really good movie.
Uh-huh.
But for me, Marvel movies have always been about the details. And in this one, they kind of nerfed a lot of stuff that made me a little upset. Mostly the Nova Corps, because they basically nerfed everything about them.
Did they nerf the Nova Corps, or did you just not see the full potential of the Nova Corps?
Well, from what I understand, the director of this movie hates the Nova Corps. So he nerfed them on purpose, is what pretty much what he said from what I remember reading an article about.
Because
they didn't fly by themselves. They had to use guns. They had to use ships. Then none of them wore helmets except for the dudes who were actual, like, low-level centurions. So it really was like... and they had to use, like, other kind of communications, like the actual, like, communicators, as where... In the books, they're more like the Green Lantern Corps. Instead of having a ring that just does everything, they just are powered by their helmets. So,
well, maybe that's what they're trying to get away from. Maybe they're not trying to be as blatant ripoffs of the Green Lantern Corps as they are.
Or maybe they saw how bad Green Lantern flopped, and they were like,
I like the Nova Corps. I feel like that, you know, I didn't read any of that stuff. I'm assuming that we are seeing the low levels of the Nova Corps, and I feel like if something was needed... Or if there was, like, a better Nova Corps, like Nova... What's the big guy's prime?
Nova Prime?
Nova Prime's, like, the end-all, be-all. But I think that you could also see this as, like, the Nova Corps didn't have a great challenge until that day. So maybe now they evolve into more sophisticated weapon system. That's a
possibility.
System. So now that's when, like, you see the utilization of the helmet, you see... You know, and you said maybe in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because I always think that Nova is going to be in their movies, in the space cosmic movies, right. Like S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the lower level stuff.
That's kind of true. You know, and maybe it was just more of like a try to set up. But I mean, I had a good time. Don't get me wrong; I thought it was really good, but I didn't think it was like Avengers good.
I think it was Avengers good.
Yeah,
I think it was. I thought it was amazing. I liked that there was no backstory besides a little bit before the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like the little bit of, like, you know, Star-Lord, Peter Quill on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I enjoyed that instead of it being like, this is how we got together, and this is how you watch them meet up, and then that's how you figured out the story, and that's how everything went. I enjoyed that. I liked the people that they picked to play the parts were great.
Yeah, I agree.
Dave Bautista is Drax. I was like, he's not going to, but like the whole like, oh, it's over his head. He's like, no, nothing gets over my head because I could catch it. Because I've, you know, like, it's great. Like it was just perfectly. Right. And now it might be variations away from what the typical characters are, but I feel like that's forgivable in this kind of movie because the characters weren't all that fantastic in the comics anyways. I feel like the tweaks that they did are fine by me. Like
it made sense.
Yeah. You know, I don't need Drax to look like the Space Hulk with the purple and the, you know, the weird skulls and whatever. I don't need that. The Drax that they have with this is perfect. Gamora was great. I think that she still pervades, you know, like the way she comes off in the comics is exactly how it came off for the most part.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I like Star-Lord being goofy. I think he's going to be a guy. What's his name? Not Peter Quill. What's his real name? It's Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
I think
he's
perfect, and I think that he's the type of guy that'll stay with this movie for like. He'll sign, I think, a big contract with Marvel and do a bunch of things.
I agree.
And then all the other stuff, it's great. I just thought it was good. I liked all the Easter eggs from Cosmo to Howard the Duck to the Adam Warlock cocoon.
Yeah.
And then they showed a guy in a red cape with his back turned. And like the collector scene where it's filled with stuff was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Celestials in the book, I didn't think, or in the movie, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Or like, or talking about it at all with Nowhere. Because I thought Nowhere they did almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like it was 99% correct.
Yeah.
Even
showing the image of like the people that held the stones and actually like give you like, all right, hey, like if you want to know what the purpose of all these Infinity Stones.
Yeah. Bing, bang. And the fact that they actually called them Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of cool. I thought it definitely was like the best setup movie I've ever seen though. Like the setup for more scenes.
Oh, yeah.
There were parts of it where I thought the humor kind of wasn't really needed, and they kind of put it anyway, but it was still fun. Like I said, it's not like I didn't like the movie. It's just
I think that's what sells it, though. I think that's what gets other people into it.
Yeah, I think it definitely sucked. It's going to suck people in.
Oh, yeah, and it already has, like 630 million or whatever worldwide. Yeah, and it's the biggest. It was the biggest one this year, you know.
Right.
But it wasn't the biggest Marvel. Avengers still beat that.
Right.
But, yeah, it was huge. It was really big.
Let's See, Doctor Who, the new Doctor, is taking over. They're four episodes in. Peter Capaldi is amazing at what he's doing. I mean, I know you haven't watched any of it yet.
You shouldn't say yet, because I'm not.
You might watch it eventually.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So. But this new Doctor is really great. He kind of has like a William Hartnell vibe, who is the first Doctor.
Shoulder shrugs.
Right. I really like how they're playing it. I like the fact that they're not focused on, like, it's not focused on the Doctor so much now this season as is, like, this underlying tone of the afterlife, or the, they're calling it, what are they calling it? They were like Paradise or the Promised Land. That was it. Promised Land. So it's very interesting. I'm really curious to see where they're going, but they've already signed Capaldi for another season. I like the way they're doing it, and I hope it does really well. So check out the new Doctor Who if you haven't. It's great. And lastly, the thing that we were together for that is the least important thing, we have finally updated the website.
I wouldn't even say we were both there. I more or less said in a meeting, we need to update this website. And then you updated the website. And then I was looked like, at it, and we're like, that looks great.
And I was like, how does this look? Is this all right? Okay, cool. Nice. And then that was it. It was like 2 days worth of work. And then we just basically had to transfer everything over to the different domain. And everything worked out. It was really good.
Now we say a new website. It's not like a new address. We're still at ndcomics.com.
Correct.
That's where you'll be able to hear this.
However, we're now mobile friendly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which is a huge plus.
That was a big key in mine and John's talking about the updates website is mobile friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally, you can check it out from your iPhone or your Android, and we can figure it out and look it up. And there's all pictures of the stores, directions.
Direct emails. So you can email the store right off the website. You can look at the new previews, like what's coming out each week.
Yeah.
It's laid out so much cleaner.
One of the big things too that we spent time with is the search. We have stuff that people are looking for. So let's throw out here: if you have a Walking Dead one, you know that we're looking for it. You contact one of us through the messenger on the website, and we'll tell you how much you could possibly get for it.
Yep, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, let's talk about some comics. Do you want to talk about what's coming out that came out today first, or do you want to do the old stuff first?
What are we at time-wise?
I don't know, because I totally did not put this on time setting. I put it on meter. So
this is going to go like 2 hours.
Oh, wait, hold on. 28 minutes. All right. So we got time. We got a half hour.
Well, let's do this. Let's do our books.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about what we have
coming out today, and then we'll talk about one more topic real quick.
What's the state of?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, let's do that after, because I have a segue, because I could do that into the.
Oh. Okay. So you want to do this first then?
Let's skip it until very last.
Okay. Very last. Okay.
All right. So you go first.
Okay.
Because then that'll bing bong, bing bong.
Right.
Bing,
right. Bong. Yeah, all right. So let me try to do these in the order that they came out, which is the reverse of what I have them sitting in the pile. Okay.
I'm gonna do mine in order. We forgot this too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that.
We've never done a podcast before.
It's been a while, guys. We're kicking back. It's like riding a bike, So we're talking about our back issues and trades. Ooh, what do you got there, Ken?
So my back issue of the week is from the great Valiant Comics.
Hey.
And it's got Exo Manowar, dude. Bro.
Bro.
My book is The Visitor versus the Valiant Universe. And what Valiant did in the mid to late 90s, they're like, listen, Superman's pretty awesome, and Batman people really like too, so let's make an alien that's got Superman powers, but let's give him a butler in a secret location, and bam, you got the Visitor.
Wait, was this post Jim Shooter during the Acclaim run, or was this Jim Shooter era?
Was Jim Shooter the Acclaim stuff? It was before that.
Jim Shooter was before the Acclaim stuff.
Yeah, this is Jim Shooter time.
Okay.
And
so the heyday, if you will.
And I, and this is like, what I picked was The Visitor versus the Valiant Universe, because he first showed up in a two-issue mini of him versus everyone in the Valiant Universe. And everyone's like, oh, wait a minute, you're a cool dude. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a superhero.
How come we never saw you before? Whatever.
But I enjoyed that, A, they drew him with three fingers, a weird head, and you never saw him without his, like, mat. Like, you never saw his face.
Interesting.
Until maybe later. I only read the first couple issues of the next one, but I read
this. He's got, like, Ninja Turtle hands?
Yeah, he's got Ninja Turtle hands, and he's kind of, like, more Martian Manhunter than Superman, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's got a weird Omega logo, and I don't know if they explain why he's got the Omega logo on his chest, but it was just, I don't know. This is why I enjoy it. If I ever pick a back issue, I'm going to try to pick something that will never get reprinted again. No way is Valiant going to reprint The Visitor anytime soon.
You don't know. They've been going through their stuff. And
well, you know why they can't ever reprint it?
Why?
Dr. Solar's in it.
Oh, that would be why.
And they don't own the rights to him.
Crazy.
Now, if they ever get the rights back to him, which I think would be huge.
That would be huge.
If they got the rights back to the Golden Key characters. But it's a decent read. It's only two issues, and then you can read the other stuff. And it's also a book that, as of now, or there's no future, you know, there's no way in the near future that this is going to get reprinted anytime soon.
And I'm sure if you asked us for it, we could find you at least 30 at Elwood in the basement.
You know what? You only have issue number two. You don't even have any of his miniseries afterwards.
What?
So don't boast about your back issue, sir. You need to do a void list.
I will be doing a void list on that. I will put that on the list. that's cool.
Todd's going to be like, who the hell is behind The Visit?
Oh, my God. Everybody needs to do this now because Ken talked about it. Way to go. All right. So... my trade of this week is Bunker Volume 1 by Josh Fialkoff and Joe Infernari on Oni Press. We've talked about this book in general, and this is the first five issues put together into one
thick
trade.
Five issues. That's a solid book.
It is a solid book. It's 1999. It is really awesome. If you like Fringe and you like time travel and you like
Fringe, like on my leather jacket.
No, like Fringe the show. Like, okay. Yeah, not the leather jacket. So, yeah. So it'd just be really interesting to get people's reactions. I've actually had a couple people who have listened to us talk about it on here, and were like, "Man, that was a really great book. Thank you for recommending it to me," and on Monday, the drummer from Hawthorne Heights was in here because they were on tour and they happened to stop here. And I mentioned it to him, and he's like, "Oh man, I can't take anything on the bus. Like, we only have so much room." But I definitely saw him like sneak a picture of it to make sure that he bought it later.
That jerk should have bought it here.
I know, but
all of Hawthorne Heights.
It's cool. They were on their 10-year tour for whatever their first record was with Ohio Is for Lovers. So, but anyway. It's good times.
We don't know.
They were nice guys. All right. So let's talk about some stuff that happened.
Cool.
First thing I'm going to talk about is the death of Archie.
He died. Not an afterlife with Archie either. He just did.
It actually was like, not only did he die.
He died.
He like martyred himself.
Yeah. He jumped in front of a bullet for one Kevin Keller.
Yeah. It was nuts. And like, what's really funny is they never tell you what. If he married Betty or Veronica, like they're both
there and they're both upset about it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very bizarre. But I thought it was cool that like Jughead now ran the diner and stuff. But like the dude was like just like a random terrorist guy who just didn't like what Kevin Keller was what he stood for. This is like an epic panel of Archie just like running at the shooter.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then blam!
That's a very large blam.
It's a very large blam with an oomph in it. And the guy who actually shot him ended up being one of the guys that worked for Jughead. So it made it even more twisty. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right? They thought it was this dude in a hoodie, but it wasn't. And then what made it cool is the next week... They did a 1 year later thing where Kevin Keller is basically like walking around town talking to people, trying to get them to tell them old stories of Archie so that, he can dedicate this this field or gym or something to him at the school. And it was just so well done and well written. Like, I don't read a lot of Archie anymore, but this was definitely really cool. And there were so many different artists that came out of the woodwork to do covers. Mm-hmm. Like, Walt Simonson did one.
I bought the chick that does Saga.
Oh, the Fiona Staples one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I bought the guy who does Madman. He's doing Silver Surfer right now. He did that weird Captain America. Yeah, the Captain America where he's punching his shield. Mike Allred.
I still don't know how to get that poster.
That's the cover I bought of it, but it was really good. We sold the poop out of it, but it was really good. I still have a couple of the double-sized commemorative issue of the magazine version of it for $10. And it's a slightly bigger print, so it's kind of nice. But, it's definitely something that, you know, is one of those iconic things. Kind of like when they kill Wolverine.
Which we'll talk about. They should make a group of everyone that's been dead this year. So be like Wolverine and Archie and insert more characters here.
And then just put them all in one book.
Yeah, make them all one, like in the afterlife. Like Archie's like, so, what's up?
And then Wolverine just like, shut up, Ginger.
I want to see him on this one dead team.
Right.
So. All right, so my next book is the greatest book that's ever been printed.
It's true. You and Brock pushed this book on everyone that day. I was there.
Teen Dog by Boombox by Jake Lawrence. Teen Dog is a great book. It was created, illustrated, and written by Jake Lawrence. I picked up the variant cover from Jen Lee because I think it was a very low print run for the variant, but yeah, we picked it up. Sorry, my allergies are going crazy. It is a very simple read. It is very goofy. There's a lot going on. My favorite character is Thug Pug, Teen Dog's arch nemesis.
Oh, wow.
There's classic things like where Teen Dog's like talking to a teacher. And the teacher's like, how many times have I told you to come prepared for class? Teen Dog pulls out a hamburger from his book bag. He goes, dude, I always come prepared. And the teacher goes, Teen Dog, shakes his fist.
Almost sounds like Fast Times at Ridgemont High with a dog.
It is.
That's hilarious.
Teen Dog's like playing arcade games.
Teen Dog.
It's pizza day at the school. And then like the chicks at the school are like talking about each group of people. There's like the jocks and the nerds and the geeks. And I like that they show the nerds as this girl and she's like, math. All excited.
That's awesome.
And then they cut math. The thug pug and he's like hanging out behind the school. And oh, where's the page at? Thug Pug's like spray painting.
It's very like Brian Lee O'Malley-ish art. And I think that's why you went to it.
Yeah, probably. It's got a very, like, strange feel to it. Oh, yeah, Thug Pug's painting on the back of the school. A picture of Teen Dog, and it says, I'm Teen Dog, and I'm not even cool at all.
It's so goofy. Thug Pug looks awesome.
Thug Pug.
And the fact that he has, like, a goat, like a Pac-Man ghost on his back is hilarious.
Yeah, it's on the back of his, like,
cut, like
jean vest.
Yeah, like his, like,
spikes.
Like his, this Daryl vest.
They have a freeze frame high five.
That's
awesome.
They recap
like what everyone is doing now after the story's over, even though the story's like 8 parts long. And Thug Pug was last seen sulking behind the library.
Oh no!
But it's it. It's good.
That's awesome. Pizza Dog has a pizza, or Teen Dog has pizza on his back.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna find out that Thug Pug and Teen Dog might be related.
Oh no!
It's gonna be the twist.
It sounds like fun though.
It's fun. It's goofy. We were reading it and laughing just because it was stupid,
right?
But it's good. I kids were coming in. I was trying to sell to all the subscribers. They're like, Ken, you need to read things other than Teen Dog. I'm like, what? Teen Dog's awesome.
No, I was there when you guys had a subscriber.
Hey, there's no infinite. There's no what is it? Futures End 3D cover for Teen Dog.
Right.
It's just Teen Dog.
It was cool though because one of the subscribers you guys were talking to actually went over and grabbed it, and then brought it over and then started reading it. and was just like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but this book, no. And I was just like, dude, it's Team Dog. Come on.
Team Dog's awesome.
So, it's kind of like how I pushed like the Itty Bitty Bunnies book.
Yeah.
You know, which the new one of that came out today, which is
awesome. Oh, really?
Yeah, which I'll talk about next week. All right. I haven't gotten to read it yet. All right, so my next book is Multiversity Number 1 by Grant Morrison and Ivan Reis.
Captain Carrot.
Captain Carrot. This is interesting because you find out like the last monitor is dying, and there's like a talking monkey, and this Superman, the Superman from that one action book, so like the black Superman, the one that was kind of like he's the president, he's like the Obama Superman. Mm-hmm. He ends up with this like going back to his Justice League, and like it's like Black Lightning and Vixen and Steel and like John Stewart and like a Black Wonder Woman. Like it's just like that whole universe is just the African American versions of our regular universe. And then he like steps into this weird cube thing, and all of a sudden Captain Carrot's like, "Hey!" and you find out that they're all being pulled in by these boom tubes, and you see like multiple versions of weird characters. Like there's the little kid version of Wonder Woman and Steel there. There's the female Aquaman.
I think that's Aquaman.
Well, I say that, but I would have said Aquaman, but there actually is an Aquaman on Earth too. But this would be the female equivalent because she has the same exact outfit.
Okay.
And there's some
who's
there's
the
like a the dragon dude?
No, the guy with the spear who's talking.
This guy?
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name is. I read this like 3 weeks ago. Let's see. Anyway, whatever. So like there's like a guy that's basically like Savage Dragon, and there's a Harbinger system, which is kind of like a world mind, and they go and they're basically trying to keep all these worlds from collapsing in on each other, and you find out they have to fight that last monitor, and they go to Earth 8. And Earth 8 is kind of like a knockoff Marvel universe. Like, because like, hey, they have like an almost like a Avengers team. And
interesting.
Which Earth 7 also apparently has a version of. And then there's the Behemoth, which is like the Hulk, but he's like a blue baby. And he like crushes Captain Carrot and he just bounces back. And he's like, "Who else wants to argue with cartoon physics?" was the best line in the whole book. It was hilarious. So they're fighting like a Doctor Doom style guy, and there's all kinds of things going on. And it's very kind of interesting as to what is actually going on. But they're doing their Society of Superheroes this week that came out. We'll see how that goes. It's very interesting, but it definitely hops around to places you never knew existed or possibly wanted to know existed in the DCU. It's kind of neat, though, because one book they showed a map of all the different worlds, mm-hmm. and you actually could see which one was the Marvel Universe in the 52.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they had crossed over for like the Almagam stuff.
They show it in there?
Yeah, they show it like where the DC Marvel versus book. Know. They show which universe that Earth is. I think it's 4 because it's a giant Fantastic Four symbol or it's something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but I'm curious to just see where it goes because there's just so many weird versions of characters.
Well, it's Grant Morrison, so
yeah,
it's going to be out there.
Yeah, it's going to be weird, but it's good. Check it out.
My next book is The Wicked and the Divine. Issue 4 came out this week.
Right.
Issue 3 came out last month. This is probably one of the, I think, best illustrated I think the story's great. It's captivating.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into much of the story aspect because I'll be honest, I just don't need to read four. But it's really good. If you're not picking it up yet, Mills still has 1, 3, and 4 on the shelf around issue 2, which seems to be hard to find everywhere. But they made second prints, and I think they're going to a third print for 1 and 2. But I'm not going to go into a long,
thing. I'm going to talk long about this book.
No, I'm not. This is just something where you need to read it for yourself. Check it out. The art's great. The story's fantastic. Go. And go.
I actually met Matt Wilson at Baltimore. He's the guy who's the colorist for this book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was real cool. And his card is little mini versions of the covers.
The covers are great.
Yeah.
And they're 50-50. There's always the face.
Yeah.
The character that's like most, it's mainly about. And then
the god that,
yeah,
like a one of the god type characters. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet. I like the book, too. I know our Ladies' Night read number 1, and a lot of them really enjoyed it, so they've come out for that, too. So, all right, my next book is Death of Wolverine. So, yeah.
Did you read the second one?
I didn't read the second one yet.
Neither did I.
I thought this was awesome because it started out where Wolverine goes to, like, his bar that he's been going to forever, and instead of, like, ordering and drinking, he just orders whiskey to pour on his hands because he used them to cut himself open. And then dudes start hunting him down. And that's pretty much how the whole part of the book is. There's an island where Wolverine's holed up, and you find out that the Viper has put out a hit on him to actually kill him. And, like, it's been pretty good. I haven't read the second one. I thought the first one was pretty good, but a little slow. I'm hoping the second one picks up. But issue 3 actually got pushed back to October 1st. So for those of you coming in this week and thinking that it's out, it's not. You got 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, Marvel and their infinite wisdom coming out, soliciting it once a week for a month, and they couldn't handle it. I don't know. I don't know who to blame on that. But so far, it's been good. I haven't read the second one either.
I
enjoy it. And
Ryan feels that it's McNiven not hitting his deadlines with art.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. He's very, very hard to work with that way.
But the art's great.
It's
definitely worth it.
And they all have shiny, silvery covers like the 90s.
They're all fancy. And I should have grabbed, was it Deadpool 32? What was that book came out last week?
Oh, yeah. Deadpool 32, the dancing 3D variant.
Where he goes back to the 90s to find out his original sin.
Yeah.
But I didn't read it, but it's funny that they're...
Oh, he finds out he has a daughter. I think is
that the original sin?
I think that was it. Because then his daughter appears in Hawkeye versus Deadpool, which was really funny.
Oh, really? Because
he's him and like his life model decoy kind of wife and stuff. They're trick or treating, and they go as like Deadpool and his daughter go as Ghostbusters, and they go to Hawkeye's building, and Hawkeye's dressed like Ultron.
That's kind of funny.
And they're like, why aren't you giving out full candy? I think he's holding out, because every year he gives out full candy, and this year he got the fun size. It was really funny.
So. All right, so my book is Avengers 35. Came out this week, and this is the kick for, like, in 8 months, time runs out. All the solicitations for coming up are going to be like, time runs out. All this stuff's running out. Blah, 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 blah.
Running out of time.
So all it says is 8 months later, and it's showing the Exnelio people destroying. It looks like they're destroying a sun. Then it shows them like having to go to Earth. Apparently, Sunspot and Cannonball are living in the Shi'ar, or in. Cannonball had a baby with someone on the Shi'ar planet.
Oh.
The Starbrand and who is this? Gateway?
I can't see.
That dude.
Yeah, I think that's what his name is. He's like the new Portal.
No, that's Manifold.
Oh. Whatever.
Excuse me one second.
Okay. I don't remember. I think I, because I stopped reading Avengers stuff pretty early on because it was really dragging. Because it was.
Here's the big thing about all this, and I'll skip over this. Thor and Hyperion both have beards, and they're hanging out in the Savage Land, getting drunk together and high fiving.
That's awesome. I want to hang out with Thor and get drunk apparently, and high five.
Avengers Tower is taken over by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. is, you know, it's taken over Avengers Tower. They find someone trying to hack into Tony Stark's old information.
Oh.
So basically, here's another thing, too. If it's 8 months later, this is going to hop in. I guess this is going to be the ending of the story.
Right.
So, okay, weird. Whatever. Maybe this is setting up for the crossover, the big event that's going to happen in 8 months.
Yeah, in spring, yeah. Whatever that's
actually
going to do.
So they show Frank Amadeus Cho. They show Frank Cho. Now they show Amadeus Cho. S.H.I.E.L.D. finds him.
Oh, I want to say bad things here, but I'm not going to. Go ahead.
They show that Amadeus Cho is part of the Illuminati, and they try to apprehend him. So he's running away, and then the Avengers show up. And the Avengers in all black are, it's just War Machine, Captain Marvel, and Hawkeye. And
look at Captain Marvel's awesome outfit.
Yeah, and all of them are black, gray, and white.
Right.
All the costumes. And so Amadeus Cho throws something at War Machine. You find out War Machine's really a drone. And he attacks, like, uses it to attack the other two. Then more War Machine drones show up. And then Amadeus Cho's apprehended. He doesn't know how. And his communicator from wherever he is, like, his communicator is lifted out of his hand and destroyed.
Oh, no.
And it says, like, no more translocating out of this time, Cho. And he's like, where's Iron Man? And he's like, no one knows where he is. He's disappeared. And then they're like, well, where's Banner and Hank Pym? And Cho's like, you know we're all trying to save you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start talking about Captain Britain, Doctor Strange, Beast, Black Panther, Black Bolt.
Crazy.
And Cho's like, I'm not telling you anything. And the person takes off her mask. Is like, listen, you're going to tell us where the Illuminati are hiding because I need to know where my husband is, Reed Richards. And it's Sue Storm.
Oh, wow.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what? She's trying to track down Reed. And that's how cool. She knows what, like, how he thinks is because he's thinking like Reed, or how Reed's telling what Reed's telling him to do.
Right.
The entire time he's doing stuff, he's talking to someone over his headpiece.
So you think it's Reed?
Yeah. So
interesting.
I think this is a great segue to the state of comics.
The state of comics.
So you were more of a DC guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm a 50-50 now, but. Lately, I think I've been slightly more DC.
I'm pretty much Marvel and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, I'll be honest, Marvel, I read, what was it? Original Sin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read all the crossovers, I just read the main book, and I enjoyed it. And the reason I enjoyed it is because it had, this is what happened, this is how the story went, and the ending was clear. You know, there's repercussions for what happened.
Yeah.
One person died. Things happened here. There's going to be more repercussions later that set up other stories. But this, and this.
Right.
This, I honestly think that Marvel is going to reboot in 8 months.
Like a full reboot?
Full reboot.
I kind of get the same vibe.
Because what's that put? 8 months from September is May. Which would be their start of their summer crossover. The only thing that's in, you know, there's what movie's coming out in May? Oh, Avengers.
Avengers.
So.
And.
The Avengers is a free comic book day movie.
Yeah. And then Batman Superman is like the next week.
No, they pushed it back here.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
No, I thought they just fought for the same weekend. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of feel the same, especially with all of the weird change-ups that they're doing lately. As we were talking before with Sam Wilson becoming the Falcon, or becoming Captain America from the Falcon. And
Thor being a chick.
Yeah, and then there's a giant uproar about the fact they're changing the inscription to say if she be worthy.
I don't care about any of that.
Ryan is mad. Ryan's very mad, but, you know, that's because he looks like Thor. What do you expect? I don't know, man. Like, it's weird.
I think when Free Comic Day comes around...
Mm-hmm.
The book is going to be like, this is like Marvel Universe 0.1. Like, they're going to reboot it somehow. The right. Time Gem is the only one that's around right now.
So do you think they're going to... Okay. Throwing this out there. Not that they're going to do a full reboot. But what if they'd use the Time Gem to reboot to the origin point? Like, everything goes back to that point in time because the Time Gem is the one out of place.
I think it's all likely possible that's what they do. I think you could retell an origin story. You could change stuff up. And I don't know if you do to, like, the origin point for everyone. But you could. You could say it all started at the same time, so they're in the same
right
comprehension point and everything.
Right.
But do you... If you do it that far back, do you redo No More Mutants and Civil War? And
or do you do it in a new way to...
But that's what bothers me. Do you go back and then you start again? Is that just the Ultimate Universe? Like,
right.
I don't want retellings and, like, updated shenanigans where you find out that, like, Peter's parents made the Venom symbiont and all this weird.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I mean, DC did a good job with the New 52. To start off, it seemed good. But then when everyone realized that none of the time frames matched up for people, it started to get plot holy and very holy and holy. And then 2 years later, they finally found a decent way to put everybody on the same date.
I would like to see it where... The Time Gem went to a critical point in the Marvel Universe, and, like, this was one possibility splinter from it.
Oh, that would be cool. Almost like a Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, like...
Also, remember, next May is the, 30th anniversary of that book.
Yes.
So.
Which could make it interesting, too. Is Marvel setting up that they're going to do an homage to Infinity Crisis? Like,
yeah. Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, but doing their own, because they've never done one.
Yeah.
They've always been really good about, like, hey, we're not going to be messing with our timelines and jumping around, or it doesn't have big, you know, consequences.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be kind of interesting to see. I'm really... Because it kind of sound, I kind of get this vibe from Marvel right now where they're just like, you know what, we're going to reboot, so we're just going to do all this kind of crazy stuff. We don't care. They're killing Wolverine. They're doing the Spider-Verse thing, which is looking really good.
Every book is time-hopping.
Yeah, they're replacing everybody with the sidekicks.
Yeah.
You know, Hawkeye's deaf right now.
Like, he's deaf?
Yeah, he went deaf in his book, so...
Why?
It's very interesting. Like, he was in a room where... Too much stuff went off and he became deaf. So, but he already knew sign language because his dad was deaf or his mom was deaf. So, the last issue was actually kind of interesting because, like, he was telling people stuff in sign language and it was really weird because they wrote it in sign language. So, it was kind of awkward.
Weird.
But he has, like, a hearing aid. So, like, by the time the Hawkeye versus Deadpool book came out, he had, like, a hearing aid. So, but, yeah, there's just all kinds of weird, like, they're doing that weird Iron Man thing.
Superior
Iron Man.
Which is probably going to end up being Ultron.
Yep. Oh, which, so that's gonna, that kind of leads me into this slightly off topic, but still on topic thing. With, since we talked about movies, so Avengers 2, the tease that came out of some stuff, I think I saw it yesterday or the day before, is that Tony Stark creates basically a shit ton of drones.
Yeah.
And that's the premise of the movie. Like, to like that he created this like world piecing drone thing because of all the stuff that went on with Hydra and Shield and the Cap 2 movie. So out of that, the AI just kind of goes nuts, and that's why you see all those Ultron drones
in
the teaser photo. So I'm curious to see how true that is.
Yeah,
which and how it unfolds. But now they also are saying that Ant-Man will make an appearance in Avengers 2.
Really?
I read that this morning. Hank Pym will be in Avengers 2.
Like, so old Hank
Pym. Old Hank Pym.
Weird.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of excited about it. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like,
But anyway, so that's about all I got.
That's all you?
All right, cool. I'll read off next week's books real quick, and then we'll get out of here. So, actually, this week's books. So, if you're in the shop today or this week, here's some of the new books you can look to catch up on. All new X-Factor, number 14. All new X-Men 32. Some Armor Hunters Bloodshot.
Bro.
Avengers 35. Avengers World 13. Batman and Robin Futures End, Batman Eternal 24, Batman Superman Futures End, Batwoman Futures End, where she's a vampire. Bionic Woman Season 4, number 1, Buffy, number 7, Clone 20, Criminal Macaw, Third Child, number 1, Crossed, Badlands 61, Daredevil 8, Dead at 17, Blasphemy Throne 2, Deadly Class 7, Deadpool Biannual, number 1, Delinquents, number 2, Devilers 3, Doberman 3, Edge of Spider-Verse, number 2, Elektra 6, Figment 3, Future's End 20, George Perez's new book, Sirens, number 1, God is Dead 20, Godzilla Cataclysm 2, Green Lantern, New Guardians, Future's End, a bunch of Grim Fairy Tales because they come out every week. Hulk 6, Hulk Annual 1, Infinite Crisis, Fight for the Multiverse 3, Itty Bitty Bunnies and Rainbow Pixie Candyland Christmas Special.
It's September.
Yeah. And we have a variant, by the way. Jim Henson's Storyteller Witches 1, Judge Dredd 23, Justice League Future's End, Life After number 3, which has been a good book too. Max Maximized 11, Miles Morales Spider-Man 5, Multiversity of the Society of Superheroes 1, Nova 21, Oddly Normal 1, Original Sin 5.5, which is the end of the Thor Loki 10th Realm Angela's My Sister storyline. Purgatory number 1, which is a reboot of that old line. Red Hood and the Outlaws, Future's End, Clockwork Angels 5, Satellite Sam 10, Savage Dragon 198, Shudder 6, Sons of Anarchy 13, Strain Knight Eternal 2. It's a big week. Supergirl, Future's End, Superior Spider-Man 33, Superior Wonder Woman, Future's End. I'm sorry. Superman, Wonder Woman, Future's End. Superior Wonder Woman. That would be awesome. Supreme Blue Rose, number 3. Tales of Mystery, number 1. Teen Titans, Future's End. Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. Thor, God of Thunder, 25, which is the last one before the reboot. Translucent 6, which wraps that series up. Trees 5. Trinity of Sin Pandora, Future's End 1. Uncanny Avengers, Uncanny X-Men, Unity, Wicked and Divine, Wolverine the X-Men, Wonder Woman Future's End, WWE Superstars Ongoing number 8, and to finish it up, X-Files Season 10, number 16. So if there's anything you guys want to hear us talk about, as always, you can email us at ndctodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us. You can follow us on Facebook, whatever you want to do. All the information is actually available on the website. So
yeah,
definitely check it out and come and hang out with us.
And we're going to be on iTunes again too,
yep.
Right?
Yep, the feed should be live any moment, actually.
Awesome.
So hopefully you guys look us up again and check out the new feed and everything's good. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
See you.